We're studying the 23rd Psalm, which tells us, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." We're in verse 2 of this psalm. In our last lesson, we talked about how the Lord makes us to lie down in green pastures. Today, we want to look at the second part of that verse that says, "He leadeth me beside the still waters." And so we talked about the Lord being the one who makes us to lie down, the one who leads us. And we talked about those green pastures and how it symbolized a place of rest and a place of nourishment. And there's a similar idea in thinking about the still waters that the Lord leads us beside, with a slightly different focus as we think about that this morning. The key thing that we're learning from this psalm, of course, is that when the Lord is our shepherd, I shall not want, we shall not want. He's promised to provide for our needs. And we see that with the sheep in the green pasture, and today as the sheep drinking deeply from the still waters to which the Lord has led them. We think of still waters, it makes us think of calmness and serenity and peace. And I appreciate the prayer this morning, praying that we will be calm in our spirits. We live in a world of chaos in so many different ways, and if we're not careful, we can be caught up in the emotions of things that are happening around us and fear that is constantly promoted toward us, that we lose sight of what's really going on in this world, and that it's a spiritual fight that our God is engaged in against the forces of evil, and that we have the assurance of victory and provision as we go on our way to that victory. So we have a calmness that's described here. It comes from a lack of worry, a lack of anxiety, because the Lord is my shepherd. And so he can lead us to peace in provision. Now, that's what we want to think about as we think about still waters. Peace that comes from, that's found in the provision that the Lord makes for us. So first of all, let's talk about the thirst. We understand the idea of thirst and being thirsty. We may not have experienced it ourselves the way that some have, in actually not having water and, literally at the point of death because of that. But we know what it means to be thirsty. Sheep, of course, are led beside waters because they need water to drink. Water is essential to life. We're told that men can go for days and weeks and sometimes, even for longer, without food, or even with just a small amount of food, but the average person can only last for 3 days without water. It's absolutely essential to our life and to our existence. And just like the physical body needs water to survive and to thrive and to live, so the soul of man must be nourished with life-giving water. And Jesus made that abundantly clear when he spoke with the woman at the well in John chapter 4. And I just want to read a few verses from that passage to remind us of it. He told her in verse number 10, he answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." And so we know the story that Jesus came to this well and the woman was there, a Samaritan woman, and he asked her to give him to drink. And she, of course, replied, "Why are you talking to me? I'm a Samaritan and a woman and you're a Jew." And Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. But he says, if you understood what was happening here, whose presence you're in, what's being offered to you, you would have asked me for a drink and I would have given you living water. She says in verse 11, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. So we understand the need of physical water. That's why this well had been dug, so that people passing through could water their animals, could water themselves, and they could continue on. We recognize that need, and she did as well. But Jesus says there's a greater need. If you drink water from this well, that's fine. It's all well and good, but you're going to get thirsty again, and you have to have water again and again and again. But what he was offering is a water that you can drink of and never thirst again. That once you take this water within you, it becomes a fountain inside you that springs up to everlasting life. It's living water because it's water that gives life, and we learn here that the life is everlasting. And so you don't get thirsty again. The Lord can quench our spiritual thirst, and he's the only one who can. And so like a shepherd would lead his sheep to still waters, Jesus will lead us to the still waters of eternal life. And so he provides that for us spiritually. But we have to understand our thirst. And there's so many in the world who recognize that there's something missing from their lives, something that they're in need of. There's a purpose that they have that they're not fulfilling, and they see or feel the thirst, but they don't recognize that it's a spiritual thirst. They try to quench it with worldly things, things of this life, sinful things sometimes, and sometimes not even things that are sinful in and of themselves, but we make other things the focus and the purpose of our life so that we miss the source of living water, the thing that can actually fulfill us. And that's who Jesus is, and it's what he provides. He said it this way in John 6, in verse 35. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. So again, we have that promise of quenching both our hunger and our thirst. And Jesus is the one who can do that. In John 7, 37, he said, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And then he says, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So again, we have that demonstration and that illustration of spiritual life as water. Just like water nourishes the body and keeps us alive, Jesus can provide that which nourishes the soul and can quench our thirst, fulfill our purpose, give us life spiritually that becomes eternal life. But we have to recognize our thirst and understand it's a spiritual thirst and go to the source of life-giving water. So that's the thirst that exists. Let's talk about the tranquility now, what Jesus promised, what the good shepherd can lead us to, the still waters. We study about sheep. You know, there's that old book that was written, A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm. And one of the chapters, of course, has to do with the still waters. And he mentions in that book that sheep had primarily three sources of water, places that they could drink from. One of them, which was kind of fascinating to me, was the morning dew. And in fact, if you're in a pasture that is green enough, the sheep can go all day just from the dew that they get in the morning when they're eating of that grass. There's enough water there that can actually supply them for the rest of the day, which was fascinating to me. It's something I never thought about and had never heard before. But there's a beautiful illustration there that teaches us about the dew. In order to be out in the field to eat the grass when the dew is on it, well, the shepherd has to get up way before the sun comes up in order to lead the sheep out into the field before the sun comes up, because once the sun comes up, the dew evaporates and it's gone. So if you want your sheep to have this water, the shepherd has to put forth the effort to lead them there early in the day. And it reminded me of the miracle that God performed with the children of Israel as they wandered in the wilderness in providing them manna. He says in Numbers 11 and verse 9, when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. And you remember that in order for them to gather manna, they had to get up in the morning and gather it before the sun came up and the dew evaporated, the manna would go away also. So if you wanted the nourishment that God was provided, it had to be your first priority of the day. It had to be the first thing on your mind when you woke up, and to wake up in time to get there and get to it before it was gone. And that's the principle of seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's the principle of the Bereans being more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they searched the scriptures daily. It was their priority. It was what was important to them. And so the living water that is offered to us, the still water, is there, but it's like the morning dew. It has to be important to us. It has to be a priority in our life, so we put it first. And that doesn't mean that it has to be the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning, although that's a good thing to do. And in those quiet hours of the morning to read your Bible is a wonderful thing. But it has to be a priority. We have to make time to go drink at, you know, the dew that God gives us in his word. There's another verse that relates this idea of the dew to the word of God. It's Deuteronomy 32, verse 1 says, "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass." What a beautiful picture that is of the dew and of a gentle rain, a gentle mist that covers the ground, waters the plants, nourishes life. And God says, that's what my doctrine is. It's like rain. My word is like dew. It's able to give us the nourishment that we need, but we have to seek it out. And so it's an important principle that they could gain their water from eating grass with dew, and we see God's word described for us as dew as well. In fact, it's a fascinating study if you have time to just do a word study on the word dew in the Bible. There's some interesting things in connection with that. But secondly, the sheep would drink from deep wells. And the interesting thing about the wells, of course, we think about the woman at the well, and you know that's the kind of well that just goes down into the ground and you let down a bucket and draw up the water. So for sheep to do that, of course, obviously sheep can't go down into the well and they can't raise a bucket and draw water. The shepherd has to do that for them and pour the water out in the trough or whatever so they can drink from it. And so the shepherd is, again, providing the water for them. But there were other wells that existed also, and these were more like caves. And it's a fascinating detail about life in that part of the world in those days. But these shepherds would actually go out and dig into the ground what became like a cavern or like a cave, and you would lead the sheep down into this tunnel, basically this cave, to where the water was, and lead them down there, and they could drink. And sometimes they couldn't quite get to the water and the shepherd would have to bring it up to where they could. But think about all the work involved just to provide a source of water for a flock of sheep. So when he talks about leading us beside the still waters, that's not just a casual stroll and you're walking by a beautiful stream. There was work involved. But the Lord, the shepherd, is the one who did the heavy lifting for us. All the sheep have to do is follow the shepherd. He's the one who provided all these things for us. And then, of course, there were those gently flowing streams. And so sheep are afraid of water that is too rapid, and they won't drink from it. So it had to be flowing water, but not flowing so strongly that it would cause fear. Obviously, they didn't want to drink from stagnated water. And sometimes they would. Again, in that book about the shepherd talking about the 23rd Psalm, he talked about an occasion where the shepherd was leading the sheep to this beautiful stream where the water was flowing, you know, and clean. But along the way, on the path, you know, there was a puddle. And it was filthy and disgusting and, you know, stagnant water. And there were some sheep who were stubborn and wouldn't follow the shepherd. And they stopped and they drank from that puddle. And you know what happened? They got sick. Because in that stagnant water, you know, there are things give you parasites, make you sick and all those things. And he was noting that the shepherd's trying to lead them to the still water, but they stopped at the stagnant water. Jeremiah talks about that also, relating it to us and the word of God. He says, God says, for my people have committed two evils. First, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And then second, he says, they hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. And so God is describing himself as the fountain of living waters, a spring coming from underground. And the water has filtered through all the rock, and so it's purified, and it's cold, and it's refreshing, and you can drink your fill there and have nothing to worry about. Contrasted with a cistern, a rain barrel, that's collected rainwater, and it's been sitting there for days and days, and the bugs have gotten into it, and maybe leaves have fallen into it, and you can see little things swimming in it. And God says you have the choice of this spring of living water or drinking out of this dirty rain barrel. And he said, my people have forsaken the fountain, me, and they've gone to the rain barrel. But what was even worse about that is that the cistern that they went to drink was broken. It had a hole in it. It couldn't even hold water. So they were going to drink the dirty, polluted, filthy water, but there wasn't even any water there. But they kept choosing that cistern instead of the fountain of living waters, God. And how many times do we do that ourselves as sheep? God shows us this fountain of living water, the still waters that we can drink from and be strong and be nourished and thrive and have everlasting life. But we say, I'm going to do it my way. I think I know better than God. This water is better than what he is offering. And so we change his word. We pick the parts we like and discard the parts that we don't. And we do it our way and we think that everything is okay. And sometimes for a while, you may look okay until those parasites, right, till they hatch out. And then before you know it, you're sick and you realize that you made a terrible mistake. And so it's, again, it's a picture of following the Lord, the good shepherd, to the good water, or doing our own thing and becoming sick and poisoned from it. But the interesting thing about this phrase in Psalm 23, where it says that he leadeth me beside the still waters, the phrase for still waters actually refers to waters of quietness or waters of rest. And so that word is used in Numbers 10 and verse 33 this way. It says, they departed from the mount of the Lord 3 days' journey, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them in the 3 days' journey to search out a resting place for them. That word for resting place is the word for still in this verse. So it's not just about still water. It's about water that is a resting place. And so there's a place of calmness, of serenity, and of peace that the Lord provides where there is nourishment to quench our thirst spiritually in a world of chaos and confusion. In that passage in Numbers, we're told that the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord went before them to search out a resting place for them. Now, obviously, the Ark of the Covenant wasn't doing that by itself. It didn't float around. It was carried by the priest. And what it means is that God, represented at the Ark of the Covenant by the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night, that God went before them. And when the pillar of cloud lifted up, they packed up and they followed it. And when it settled down, they stopped and they camped. And that was the Lord leading them to a resting place. That's the Lord is my shepherd. When he leads me to still waters, he leads me to the waters of resting, a place where I can rest and there's water. And didn't God provide them water in the wilderness from the rock? Of course he did. So it's the same principle here spoken to in terms of the flock of sheep being led to the waters of rest. Isaiah 32:18 says, my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. And there again is our word, resting places. That's where God said his people would dwell. Initially for them, that was to be the land of Canaan. And of course, because of their rebellion, God said, they'll not enter into my rest, that generation that died in the wilderness. And then they lost it through their rebellion when they were carried into captivity. And then they lost it forever when they rejected Jesus as the only begotten Son of God. But that was initially to be their resting place, a type of the rest that he provides for us in the church. So it's a quietness, a rest, waters of rest that the Lord will lead us beside. So the water that Jesus provides for us is nourishing water because it gives life. And we read that in John 7, 37 and 38. Revelation 7, 17 says, "For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." So that's Revelation 7. That's not the end of the book talking about heaven. But here in Revelation 7, we have this picture of the beauty of the fellowship that we have with God. There's feeding, the spiritual food that we need, and then there's the thirst quenched by the fountains of living waters, and tears are wiped away because we're at peace and calmness with God. So what Jesus provides for us, the water that he leads us to, gives life, and therefore it's nourishing. Secondly, the water that is provided by Jesus is still water because it grants peace. In Isaiah 49 and verse number 9, the Bible tells us or speaks to us about this principle. It says that thou mayest say to the prisoners, "Go forth. To them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall he guide them." Another beautiful picture of God leading his people, providing for them protection from the heat and from the sun, giving them the pastures in high places, and then providing them the water of life, springs of water that will nourish them. But it's water of peace. Back in John chapter 4 with the woman at the well, after Jesus spoke to her about having or offering to her this living water that would give her everlasting life, the end of that story comes down in the chapter at verse 39, and it says that many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, "He told me all that ever I did." So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, "Now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." Samaritans found the Savior of the world. Why? Because of this woman who learned about living water from the Good Shepherd. He led her to the still waters, and then she led others to him so they also could come to those still waters. And what was the result? Peace. The Samaritans were enemies of God. They'd been enemies of God's people for generations. They had rebelled against God. They had created their own false religion in mockery of the true religion of God under the Old Testament, and they were lost. But now they found peace and salvation because of living water. And again, the Good Shepherd is the one who led them to those still waters. So the waters are still because they provide peace. And then the water that Jesus provides for us is restful because it gives us a place of abode, a place to live. When we read about leading us beside still waters, and we understand that they're waters of rest, waters of a resting place, it means that the Lord leads us to the place where we are continually at rest, meaning that we're at peace, we're at home. And that place of rest, of course, is the church. Matthew 5 and verse number 6 in the Beatitudes, Jesus said, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Hunger and thirst for righteousness, that which is right, the righteousness that's revealed in the gospel that's made available through the blood of Christ. If that's what I'm hungering for, And to the point that, like the manna in the wilderness, that I get up in the morning and I go after God's word because I'm starving for it and craving it and desiring it, if I hunger and thirst after righteousness that way, I will be filled. Because that's what the Lord came to provide, a place where all those needs can be met. And we find that in the fellowship that we have in his body, which is the church. Revelation 22, verse number 1 says, "He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb." Now this is a picture of heaven. And here you have this beautiful illustration of all of our needs being provided for all eternity. There's a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, and it flows from the throne of God. God is the fountain, the spring of living waters, and that water flows through our dwelling place in heaven. God created a place of rest for us in the church that becomes a place of eternal rest in heaven. And all of that is through the still waters, the living waters, the restful waters that the Good Shepherd will lead us to. Now, when we understand that, that helps us to have tranquility and peace in our lives. When there's chaos and when there's confusion, when there's testing and trial, when there's sickness and suffering, whatever it is, the persecution that we go through as Christians, when we face those hardships and those difficulties, life can be rough. But deep within us, there's a well of living water, a fountain of living water springing up to life eternal, so that even when the world is chaos, I am calm and at peace because of the Lord. The Good Shepherd has led me to a resting place where I have continual access to this water that quenches my thirst. And so I don't need the approval of man to quench my thirst. If they want to reject me and persecute me, that's okay, because I'm right with God. That's what matters. I don't need the material things of this life to satisfy me or to make me happy, because I am calm in my spirit, for I have peace with God. And so no matter what the world throws at us, we have tranquility because of the still waters that the Good Shepherd has led us to. And that brings us to the last point, and that's the teacher. And the teacher, of course, is the shepherd. This is Jesus. And the way he brings us to the still waters is by teaching us his truth. And he came into the world and he taught the truth that he is the bread of life, that he is the source of the water of life, and that we can come to him and we can receive those blessings, that as we follow him and his leadership, this is the place that we're brought to. Again, just like we talked about in our last lesson with the green pastures, that he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He is the one that leads me beside the still waters. Again, the Lord is the one who's the active force in this passage. Not meaning that I don't do anything, I'm not just passive, but what I do is follow him. He leads and I follow. But he's the one who dug the well. He's the one who hollowed out the cave. He's the one who pulls the water up from deep in the ground and puts it in the trough where I can get to it. He's the one who stands guard and protects as we drink from the flowing stream. He's the one who makes all of this available to us, and he's revealed it through the teaching of his word, his gospel presented to us in the New Testament. So he leads us to the still waters. He prepares the place for us to drink, and then he makes us rest in his work, the work that he finished. Same thing we talked about at the end of our lesson last time. The work of salvation, Jesus accomplished that. The church, Jesus built that. He established that. Heaven, he prepared that place for us, and he offers it to us as he leads us through this life to that wonderful home of heaven. And so he's our teacher, he's our shepherd, and he's our guide. And our world needs peace and calmness and security. So much that goes on around us continually and constantly that we need rest from. And the only way to truly find that rest is in Christ. He's the only one who can provide what we need to fulfill our purpose in life, to give us salvation and eternal life in heaven. The Bible ends with this great invitation, Revelation 22:17, nearly the last verse of the Bible. But it says, "The Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. The invitation is, if you're thirsty, Jesus can quench your thirst. And not just with water that you drink of it once and you're going to get thirsty again, but water that you can drink of it once and never thirst again. It becomes a fountain inside you. It's the water of life, and he offers it to us freely. All we have to do is follow where he leads. Admit that he is Lord, therefore he is right, and so I'll do what he says and trust him to give me what he promises. And that's how I follow the leadership of the Good Shepherd. Do you need to answer that invitation today to come, to take of the water of life freely, to have your thirst quenched by salvation found in Christ? Then trust him and obey his gospel. Hear the truth about Jesus, believe that he is God's Son and our Savior and the only hope of salvation and of heaven. Believe it strongly enough that you'll do what he asks. Repent of your sins, turn away from them, and turn your life toward him. Put him first, seek him first, and his word and his kingdom and his righteousness. Confess your faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior, and then obey his command to be baptized for the remission of sins. It's interesting that our spiritual thirst is quenched when we go down into the waters of baptism. The blood of Jesus washes away our sin. We don't drink that water, but we come up from it as a new creation in Christ. If you need to do that, everything is ready, and you can put Christ on in baptism this very hour. If you have done that but haven't been faithful to him, have stopped following where he leads, have gone on your own way, you know the thirst that exists and your need to come back to him. Repent of your wrongs, confess them, ask for forgiveness. He promises to forgive and to restore, and again to bring us to that place of restful peace by the still waters. If you need to do that and we can help you in any way, let it be known by coming forward. Respond even now as we stand and as we sing.